This conference is being recorded.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's teleclass, Nutritional Fertility Enhancement. Thank you all so much for being here. It's really a pleasure to be able to share this information with you and to be able to connect with so many people from around the country. My name is Joe Delamore, and I'm a holistic health counselor. I work out of Colorado, and I work with people all over the country over the phone and over the internet. The purpose of my work is to really help people wake up to their own relationship with themselves, help them feel empowered with their relationship with themselves so that they can really live the lives they want to live. I do this through a number of different ways, by adjusting diets and lifestyle, by releasing old thought forms and patterns that keep us kind of trapped in an unhealthy way. And I do this mostly through counseling and also through education, like these teleclasses. So today is a really great opportunity to share some specific information with you and to address something that's really important in our culture, as our ability to reproduce and that vital experience of being able to have offspring and create families is being threatened by our lifestyles. I'm finding it's really important to address that. So in my work as a health counselor, I've been seeing many of the devastating consequences of our modern American lifestyle. It's really actually quite sobering to see what's been happening to us as we've strayed so far from a healthy balance with the planet and healthy relationship with our bodies. And it has been really exciting to see what can happen when we heal those relationships with the planet and with ourselves. So many of the ailments and conditions and complications that people have been suffering with can be alleviated through this process. So today we're going to focus on the specific topic of reproductive health and how it's been threatened by our modern lifestyle and diets and how it can be strengthened through developing healthier diets and lifestyles. Just to kind of, before we get into the material here, just to kind of check in about this teleclass format that we're in. As I mentioned before, it's a good idea to minimize background noise, to find yourself in a nice quiet place. And also, if you have background noise, to go ahead and press *6 if you need to mute. On the call so far, it sounds really good, so we don't have to worry about that. If you want to unmute yourself to speak to us during question and answer time, then you can press *6 again. And I just ask that you focus your attention on this material and try to avoid multitasking. This is going to be a short little period in your life, but hopefully it'll be a profound one. And I just want to let you know that I will take questions at specific times. I'll break during the material to give you the opportunity to ask questions. So if anything comes up while I'm talking, just jot it down so that you can ask me during the question time. And please feel free to just step forward, because it's a teleclass and we can't see each other. You just got to kind of jump in. So like I said, there are so many things going on in our bodies and in our culture right now because of the relationship that we have with the planet and the relationship we have with ourselves. And the changes that have happened in our diets and lifestyle in the last 100 years. We've been noticing lots of epidemic diseases and conditions. And when I started to look into infertility, I realized that this is actually a huge epidemic. We've got over 5 million Americans of reproductive age that are struggling with infertility right now. This is a very basic biological function that really shouldn't be threatened in any natural form. It shouldn't be threatened. And what we're seeing right now is that it is being threatened in an epidemic way. So that's why we have such good attendance on this class, and hopefully this is an opportunity for lots of healing and lots of transformation, and being able to kind of move out of this way. What I've noticed as the causes of this epidemic, the basic cause, as I mentioned, is really straying from our natural diet, lifestyle, and environment. Our bodies have evolved over thousands of years to function within our natural environment, to be able to eat the foods that nature provides in our natural environment, and to be able to live in a particular kind of way. Humans have their own special kind of way of living in social community, with a nice balance of work and play and rest, with the certain nutrients and phytonutrients that our body's systems need. And we've really changed all of that so drastically in the last 100 years. So I would say, as a kind of a blanket cause for this being such an epidemic issue, is that general straying from the natural way. Our bodies can't quite catch up with the major changes that we've made in our environment and diets in the last 100 years. So it seems that the inability to reproduce or the struggle with reproducing has a lot to do with biochemical and hormonal imbalances. And when I look at that, I see that there's so many new chemicals in our environment and in our diet. In the last 75 years, we've invented thousands of different toxic chemicals that have become prevalent in our diet and in our environment. You know, over 100 years ago, we were using just basically natural things that didn't really stray too far from their natural sources. And during the Industrial Revolution, we really just went crazy on creating new chemicals and finding new ways of using them and using them in such high proportions. And these things have the ability to actually mutate our systems because our bodies take them in. We breathe them in. They soak into our skin through all the products that we use. We eat them because they've been now totally interwoven with our food supply. And our bodies say, whoa, this doesn't make any sense. This is not a natural thing. And so it not only depletes our natural strength and vitality, it also crowds out the nutrients that we actually need to be able to function well, and it causes the body to do some strange mutations. And these could manifest in cancers or developmental disorders. You know, this is the type of thing that might be causing some fallopian tube abnormalities or some ovulation abnormalities. They're the type of things that cause low sperm count or just an inability to be able to go through the whole process of reproduction. It's a very complicated process, and when we have so many chemicals in our diets and lifestyle, we're really challenging that process to its limit. Also, as I mentioned, sometimes these chemicals are crowding out the proper nutrients that we need, and also just our diet in general has become very devoid of nutrients. The basic American diet consists of high quantities of animal protein that is of the absolute lowest quality that it could be, full of chemicals and really lacking of vital life force. And then in addition to the animal proteins, it's, you know, a bunch of refined carbohydrates and sugar. And that's just the general American modern lifestyle or modern diet that people are eating right now. And, of course, there's not a whole lot of vitamins and minerals and nutrients involved in that diet. And each one of our systems in our body requires a huge amount and high-quality vitamins, minerals, phytonutrients, and many things that we are actually not even aware of at this point. In natural food, there's a synergenic quality that our body can relate to and understand. So when we're not eating natural foods, then our whole quality of health declines. And as it declines, systems start to break down within our body. And so this is why we're seeing many of the chronic disorders that we have in our modern lifestyle now and what might be behind some of the causes of infertility that many of us are dealing with. Another thing to mention here is a separation from nature and her cycles. Because our body is like a microcosm of the whole body of the planet. Our body functions in a very similar way to the natural cycles. And especially, you know, as we are all women here and know that in a natural, healthy, good, vital way, we're going to bleed on a moon cycle and regenerate, and our, you know, our uterus is going to go through this whole process that's intimately linked with the natural world. When we're living our lives in a way that is really dissociated from the natural cycles, then it can be challenging for our body to keep up with that. So many of our modern lifestyles are, you know, either in the city or away from knowing this natural cycle, or just so full, so busy, trying to keep up and make ends meet, that this is just something that I would bring in to consider in your lifestyle. How can you connect more in with the natural cycles and honor that that moon cycle, bring strength and vitality into it as it moves through you? Also, we're dealing with a real loss of a healthy spiritual, emotional, and social support in our culture. But like I said, our human way is to be with other people and feel that family community support and have a good balance between rest and work and play and purpose and all of these things. That's the way we've evolved over thousands of years in traditional societies. And when we're looking at our modern society, that sort of thing is really limited. You know, many of us don't have a deep spiritual connection. Many of us don't have a really safe family environment. Many of us don't feel that we have a good balance and flow in our lives. And the reason that I bring all of these things up in context with reproduction is that our reproduction is a core quality in our bodies and in our lives that really requires deep health and a feeling of safety. In order, you know, you can kind of think of this instinctually as we're animals. In order to feel like it's safe to bring another human onto the planet, to have this vulnerable creature enter into our lives, we need to feel safe. That means that our systems need to be functioning properly, so we need to feel biologically safe. And it means that we need to feel emotionally safe in our lives. And that's also translated into biochemistry, because if we're not feeling emotionally safe in our lives, we're creating certain biochemicals inside the body that are going to communicate to say, no, it's not time right now. And we need to feel spiritually safe. We need to feel like it's okay to bring a person into the world. And many of us now are feeling threatened in some way or another, feeling that things are getting out of hand. So that can also translate into certain hormones and chemicals inside the body that might signal and say, not now, it's not a safe time. So these are all things that are happening now in our culture, and they're all things that can be worked with. They are all things that can be reconciled and healed. So we're going to venture a little bit into the physical aspect, the biochemical aspect of it here, and bring our attention to the kidney-adrenal connection with reproduction. As I was doing some research on this topic, I found a deep link between the kidney-adrenal function and reproductive health. In Chinese medicine, the kidneys are seen as the root of the body and the foundation for all other systems in the body. So so when we're looking at it from that perspective, we're looking at the body as a system of systems. And each system has its function that it performs, that it provides, that's vital to the whole system. And then as they cooperate, that cooperation is vital to the whole system. So the kidneys system seems to be the foundation of all of them. It's where vital life force is kind of created and then brought into all of the other systems. Many factors in our modern lifestyle are threatening to our kidney and adrenal health. And so when I started to see this connection with reproductive health, basically if you're familiar with the chakra system, this is also the root chakra, like foundational strength in our body. When I started to see this, that, oh, the kidneys are really related to our reproductive abilities, I realized, well, we have so many assaults on our kidney and adrenal system right now. Basically, our kidneys are part of the filtering system in our body, and with so many toxins in our diets and in our lifestyles, in our environment, the kidneys are just really taxed. And also, this is where we have our relationship with stress, too. So certainly in most of our lifestyles, even those of us who really try to balance that and to not have a stressful life, it's kind of just in the air at this point in time, this pressure to just go, 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 and accomplish. And this fear or this feeling of insecurity that we have to be constantly pushing ourselves. This is a major factor in a weakened kidney and adrenal system. And with a weakened kidney and adrenal system, we're going to have a weakened reproductive ability. On the handout that I had sent you guys through the email, there's some specific foods that are really supportive to kidney and adrenal function. So I recommend that you check that out and try to include those foods into your diet with intention, feeling that you can kind of rebuild and resupport your kidney and adrenal function. In addition to that, there's some other things that we're going to look into later in the class here, but backing off of as much stress as possible, backing off of things that really affect the adrenals, like coffee and sugar and the things that kind of are giving you fake energy, you know, because your energy really, if you want to have a good, strong reproductive health and a good, strong, healthy life, then the energy needs to be coming from your systems, from your core. And when we take energy in from the outside, especially in these harmful ways like coffee and sugar, then we're weakening our internal systems. And, obviously becoming dependent on those external sources, but also just creating a dynamic there where the body is weakened. You need to exercise all of these systems in order to keep them functional. So something that's also very much related with your kidney and adrenal foundation is a concept called Xing, which is another, again, a Chinese concept. But basically, it refers to the deepest vital essence of life. Basically, this concept that the Chinese philosophy has given to what makes us alive, to what gives us even the ability to function at all. In that concept, they say that we're born with congenital Xing. So basically, like a store, a supply of this vital life force that we come into the planet with, that's determined by the health and vitality of our parents at the time of conception and during gestation. So it's kind of the way that I can kind of think of it and translate it into American terms is kind of like you have a battery when you're born, and it's fully charged. It's as charged as it can be for you, given the circumstances of your conception and gestation. And over the course of your life, you can use that energy in the battery. And there's different ways of using a battery. You can just basically tax it the whole time you're using it and drain it down. And it will last for a while, depending on the battery, but it will be constantly depleting. And when it's done, it's just going to be done. Another way that you can use a battery is to take really good care of it, make sure it's in a really, you know, proper environment, temperature-wise and everything, keep the water refilled on it. I don't know if you guys are familiar with battery maintenance, but and you can use some energy and recharge it, and use some and recharge it, and keep it kind of topped off and feeling good and strong. And so these are the, this is just an analogy to kind of think about how we deal with our vital life force. In this culture, basically, we're taught and modeled and shown to just use it up. You know, you just, from when we're really little, we just do all sorts of detrimental things to our body, and we just go, 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 go. And when we're young, it's pretty much okay. The older we get, more challenges appear until we get to be middle-aged and things really start falling apart. And then we, you know, develop some sort of condition or kind of disintegrate in that way. That's not the way humans used to live, and it's not the way we have to live now. We can live with respect to that vital life force and recharge through using certain kinds of food and lifestyle choices that keep that vital life force really vibrant and really going. Let's see. So what they've noticed is that there's actually a concentration of this vital life force in the brain, in the ova, in semen, and in bone marrow. It's like an observable thing. And so these are, you can kind of see these are the places where our life is rooted, you know, in the essence of our bones, in the essence of our reproductive health, in the ova and the semen, and in the essence of our consciousness in the brain. If we have deficient Jing in our lives, it can result in reproductive issues like we're talking about today, in birth defects, and in retarded physical or mental growth or slow maturation. So we want, you know, to have a healthy life and to have a vibrant life, we want to really bring this vital life force up as strong as possible, so that we can be able to reproduce effectively and have good, positive growth in our bodies. In order to do that, we have to focus on some Jing-preserving techniques and also strengthening the kidney health, like I had talked about before. These are closely related. And you'll see if you look into it that a lot of the things that challenge kidney health are also the things that deplete Jing, and the things that would strengthen kidney health are also the things that will bring more Jing into your life. So a major factor that depletes Jing is stress, fear, insecurity, and overwork. Now, these are really complicated things to address, but they're really real things, and they do create significant biochemical changes in the body. If we're living our lives under a huge amount of stress or fear, if we're feeling insecure, or if we're just going too hard with work, then our vital systems are going to be depleted and run down. For men, a factor that depletes Jing is too much semen loss. This is a concept from the East that we don't really have a very good grasp on here in the West. But for good reproductive health, it's important to retain semen, and it's important to refrain from sexual activity at certain times in order to help kind of build up the power and the strength within the reproductive system. So, you know, over a course of a lifetime, if a man has been kind of out of control of that element of his body and his lifestyle, then he might have a weakened reproductive ability because he has a weakened Jing. Also, toxins in food and water make a huge difference for this. You know, like I was saying before, these things come into our bodies and our bodies get confused by them. They're not life-supportive elements. So wanting to reduce the toxins as much as possible. And then also other intoxicants. Alcohol, marijuana, cocaine, coffee, tobacco are all very specifically depleting for Jing. They are also very specific to lowering sperm count, and weakening reproductive abilities and causing ovulation irregularities. So these are definite important things to address. Heavy metal poisoning, which now is very prevalent, this can really take down our vital life force. And it comes from all sorts of different sources. It's in our food supply and foods that come from the ocean. And it's in our environment because we've got all sorts of stuff coming out of the jet streams and the factories and all of that. So, you know, this may or may not be an easy thing to address, but it's something to be aware of. That, and if you feel that this is really an issue for you, then you can go ahead and get a test, and you can go through a process, which is called a chelation process, to remove the heavy metals from your body. If this is something that you're having an intuition might be an issue for you, and you've been struggling with infertility for a while, it may be worth putting some effort in that direction and exploring it to see if once the metals are cleared from your body, you're able to rebuild your reproductive strength again. And then on the dietary level here, things that can reduce your yin and deplete it are excessive sweets and too much dietary protein. A small amount of dietary protein, high quality, can be very beneficial to this vital life force, but too much is very, very, very depleting. It causes a huge tax on our system, basically for our kidneys, for our liver, for our whole system. And right there, I think, is a good summary of the common American diet is excessive sweets and too much dietary protein. So those are just basically, you know, spending this first part of the class here, just setting up what the issue seems to be from my perspective, maybe bringing a couple of new pieces to what you've already gathered for yourself. And I'm going to break now and take some questions, and then we'll get into the second half of the class, things that we can do to address these issues. So if anybody has a question, please speak up.
I have a question about the water.
Okay, and who's speaking?
Cindy, sorry.
Okay, no, that's great.
Just with regards to, you know, obviously, I think everyone's concerned about the planet, and it's really out there about, you know, don't drink, you know, try and conserve, and don't drink, you know, 14 bottles of Poland Spring water because look at all the plastic you're putting back and blah, 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 but yet you're not, so our water that we get out of the tap, I don't know if it's so safe to drink either. And
uh-huh.
So I'm just curious what the options are with regards to drinking water. And also, just out of curious, I know there's a fairly new water on the market called Smart Water,
uh-huh.
which advertises that they have electrolytes. And is that really necessary? Do you really need electrolyte-enhanced water, or is it just a marketing?
Right. Oh, that's a great question. And it's so important. Water is our vital element for health and life. Obviously, nothing lives without water. So this is really important to address this, and it's gotten very confusing lately. What I consider to be the highest choice that I can figure out at this point is to try to get yourself a good water supply. You know, depending on where you live, that may or may not be possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then process it in a way, filter it in a way that can give it the highest quality possible. So even if you're living in a city and you're having tap water, if you can go ahead and purchase, really put the priority on getting a very good filtration system for your tap water, I think that's the highest choice at this point.
Okay.
Most bottled waters are processed tap water anyways. And they're probably not going to be as such a high-quality filtration as you could get if you really focused on doing that yourself. And then, of course, they're packaged in plastic, which is leaching into them, and that's not such a good idea. Causes all sorts of trouble for the environment. It's a huge money-making organization right now. You know, the ownership and selling of water is becoming a global issue. So, yeah, so my highest recommendation is to just get a really, really good filtration system for your personal source of water. And to avoid any of these products out there that are calling themselves water but aren't really water. If it has added flavors and electrolytes and this and that and the other thing, it's not only unnecessary, but it could be harmful. And it's just, like you said, it's a strange marketing ploy. I've been shocked. You know, I live in a very remote place, but when I do go out and have to travel and I go to the airport or something, I see the billboards for all these new kinds of water. I'm like flabbergasted because really your body just needs clean water. It doesn't need anything added into it.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Are there any other questions?
Hi, Joe. It's Catherine.
Hi, Catherine.
I have a question. Maybe you're planning to address this in the second half, but I'm just curious, when you said too much dietary protein,
uh-huh,
what that quantity is.
Okay. Yeah, we will talk about that in the second half.
Okay.
We will.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions before we move on? Okay. So we're going to just head into the more positive aspect here. What can we do about it? Which I think it's important to be aware of what the issues are, to really start to look at them in an honest, realistic way. But I also think it's very important to move right along to what can we do about them. So the main remedy that I would prescribe to this is a shift in diet and lifestyle towards more natural, more healthy, more holistic, well-rounded, life-affirming. There are a lot of ways to approach infertility, for sure. There's many treatments, and I'm sure many of you have explored, researched, or experimented with them. A broad range of different approaches, from massage and acupuncture and yoga, to the other side of the spectrum with infertility drugs and surgery and treatment. Whatever your choice is for your infertility approach, I highly, highly, highly recommend having a good, balanced, strong nutritional approach to be the foundation of it. We are what we eat, and whatever we're taking into our bodies is going to be constantly creating the quality of our systems, constantly creating the quality of our blood and bones and organs, constantly creating our hormones and their function, how our cells are able to receive things and eliminate things. So regardless of what other treatments you're doing for infertility, addressing this aspect is so absolutely key. And if your food choices aren't in line with the other treatments that you're doing, you really may be sabotaging your efforts and wasting a lot of time and energy and money that is being spent on them. The Harvard Medical Research Department has been doing some really good studies lately, really interesting studies on all sorts of different things. And they recently did a fertility study that with a really simple dietary shift, they were able to see an 80% reduction in infertility. Now, there's some causes of infertility that are going to be, there's kind of no way around them. There's some things that we've experienced that are irreparable damages to our system. That's a small percentage of infertility. There's a lot of ways in which infertility can be affecting us that are repairable. And what this study showed is that through this simple dietary adjustment, 80% of the cases that they were studying were relieved. So I hope that this just kind of drives it home how important it is what we're eating, what we're taking in. I also know, because of the work that I do, that this is a really challenging thing to transition into. The work that I do is counseling people with these dietary and lifestyle changes over a period of time, and people want to do this for all sorts of different reasons. Like I said, we have all sorts of different consequences from our modern lifestyle. But although I said that this dietary change is simple, that Harvard recommends, it's also very challenging because our system and our culture and our habits and our upbringing don't necessarily support those changes. So what I offer my clients is the support and guidance that they need to really clean up their diets and lifestyles and learn new skills so that they can enjoy their new healthy way of living. And I really recommend having that support if you choose to make this type of change in your life. It just makes it so much more efficient and fun and effective. So we're just going to go through kind of like the basics here. The basics for this approach would be to avoid, eliminate, and reduce as many toxins in your lifestyle as possible. As long as the toxins are present as causes, then the results are going to persist. So the first thing to do is to really just clean up your home environment, the things that you have control over. If there are commercial products in your home, as far as cleaning products or bath and beauty products or any of these, many of them contain things that have been proven to cause reproductive disorders. And for whatever reason, we have a system right now that allows those things to still be on the shelf. So what I recommend to my clients and to, you know, just in general here, is to start taking responsibility for your own health and well-being in a way that says, okay, I'm going to figure this out on my own. I'm not going to trust that because it's on the shelf, it's safe for me. So far, that hasn't been proven to be the case. So really, you know, checking out your home environment and seeing if you can switch over household cleaners, bath and body products, and these types of things to get the chlorine and the formaldehyde and the other very life-depleting chemicals out of your regular daily life. The second thing would be to address any issues with alcohol, tobacco, coffee, sugar, and any other drugs that are proven to weaken reproductive strength and lower sperm count. So if these are issues in your life, if these are regular things in your life, then it's really important to address them at this time. This, like I said, it's not easy. It's not like, oh, well, I'm going to tell you coffee is depleting your Jing and getting in the way of your reproductive strength, and so you can just quit it. It's a challenging thing, and it's important to bring in other forms of energy and other healthier ways of being to be able to feel okay with letting go of these particular addictions. Also, a thing to avoid is artificial and denatured foods that destroy the vital life force in your body and cause mutations in your system. Sometimes when I say that, people are not really sure what I mean because basically this is like 80% of our food supply is artificial and denatured foods. What I'm talking about here is anything that contains trans fat, artificial sweeteners, artificial colors and flavors, concentrated unnatural sweeteners like sugar and high fructose corn syrup, refined carbohydrates, any flour products basically, unhealthy fats, which are basically most of the fats that are available in large quantities. And the sad story about this is that our food supply has pretty rapidly over the last 100 years, transformed from one of whole foods to one of completely denatured and chemicalized foods. So this shift is, although it's a simple thing to say, eat real food, it's kind of a complicated thing to figure out how to eat real food in your regular daily lifestyle. So this would be the recommendation, is to get those things out and then to commit to a whole food, nutrient-dense diet that's going to actually be feeding your systems. Food that feeds your organs, food that feeds yourself. This consists of fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, lots of dark leafy greens, high-quality protein from plant sources, and some high-quality protein from animal sources, if you're comfortable with that. Complex carbohydrates like whole grains, and a good variety of high-quality fats. Fats actually are totally necessary for hormone production and have been a really convoluted thing in our diet, because we've gone from high levels of saturated fat in the diet with all of the animal products to switching over to high levels of trans fats, which you guys have probably heard about at this point. It's become kind of in the news lately. And the trans fats actually cause our cells and our systems to mutate quite a lot. Harvard has also linked trans fats to infertility. And so, you know, if there's a couple of bullet points here, I would say that is an important one to remove from the diet. And just so that you can kind of be empowered to do that, anything that has partially hydrogenated oil in the ingredients list contains trans fats, even if it says zero trans fats on the front of the package. And I just need to tell you that, because there's some really tricky stuff going on in the food politics, and they've decided to allow people to market their products as having zero trans fats if they have less than 0.5 grams per serving. So companies have changed their serving sizes, and they've kind of rearranged some things to be able to market themselves as trans fat free when in fact they aren't. So this is another area where personal responsibility needs to be taken. You know, instead of trusting that what's said on the package is true, we have to learn about, okay, how do we really watch out for ourselves? So when I'm talking about fats, it's very important to have high-quality fats. They're very, very important for cell membrane function and for hormone production. And that means essential fatty acids, good quality fats from whole food sources like nuts and avocados, olives, high quality fish, these types of things. Okay. Let's see, that's kind of a lot there. And like I said, this switch over can be challenging, because it's, you know, it's like creating a whole new repertoire of recipes. It's a whole new way of relating to food. It's a whole new way of shopping. It's a whole new way of kind of interacting socially. And it can actually be really fun and really life-affirming. And as it supports your reproductive health, it can also really just support your general health all across the board. So even though it can seem a little daunting, it's really so worth it and so rewarding, and will have many, many positive consequences. Okay, so we're going to kind of venture back into the concept of Jing and talk about, in addition to this basic whole foods diet, what can we specifically do to really kick up the strength of our reproductive system. And here's where we're going to talk about the meats and animal proteins, basically. Like I said, too much animal protein is very, very, very detrimental to Jing. It is a very heavy food. It's very draining on the system. It's, again, kind of like coffee and sugar, where you're taking this external source of energy and taxing the body with it, basically. And it's very... very taxing for the kidneys and the liver to process all of that animal protein. But small amounts of very high quality meats and fishes can be really beneficial to Jing. It's like a little boost. It's like this life force that you can take in from another creature's body and help it kind of seed your own life force. What they recommend, though, for amounts is, you know, a very, very small amount, like 3 or 4 ounces per serving, maybe once a week. You know, that's the type of amount that we're talking about here to enhance Jing. What we are seeing in the standard American diet is that people are eating much larger quantities than that, larger portion sizes, and they're in almost every meal. You know, it depends on what sector of the society you're in, but in many sectors of the society, meats or animal proteins, including, you know, eggs, cheese, milk, different forms of it, are found in every single meal. And when they're found in that way, they build up this kind of heaviness and really, you know, like I said, tax the system just across the board. When your body is clear of the animal protein and you bring it a little bit at a time, it can be very stimulating and very good for you. While we're talking about this, it's really, really important to talk about what high quality means and what, you know, what these different choices for animal products are. Right now in our food supply, most of the animal protein is what I would consider extremely low quality. These are coming from animals that are raised in very, very, very poor conditions, way too many animals per space. They're being fed the wrong kinds of food for their bodies. You know, their bodies have also evolved to adapt and be able to assimilate certain nutrients and certain types of foods over thousands and thousands of years, and then all of a sudden we're changing their food. You know, we're having vegetarians eat animal protein. We're having, you know, grass grazers eat grain, and it really changes their life force. In addition to that, commercial animal products and conventional animal products are really full of huge amounts of toxins. They're given lots of antibiotics because they're raised in a way that they can't actually keep themselves healthy. So they're given antibiotics routinely throughout their life and just pumped up with lots of hormones, and their food is full of chemicals because of the way it was grown and because they're trying to, you know, artificially beef up these animals. So if you take any of those things in, you're taking in all of that toxic energy as well. So when we're talking about using animal products to increase your vital life force, we're talking about the highest quality possible, which means organic, first of all, for sure. And if you can find local sources of the animal products, if you can know that these animals were raised in as natural of an environment as possible. And when you're eating small quantities of the animal products, it's a lot easier to give it that attention and that care. So if you can find yourself connected with a local farmer, if there's a community-supported agriculture organization in your area that you can connect with that has some animal products, these are the types of sources that I really recommend for Jing-enhancing animal products. Cool, I hope that covered that concept enough. And then also the recommendation here for Jing enhancement is to choose foods that are really high in nucleic acids, the RNA and DNA, just vital life code. Vitamin B12, vitamin A, omega-3 fatty acids. These foods, I'm going to give you kind of a little list here of foods that contain really rich sources of all of those things, and all of those things are going to be able to really charge up your reproductive health and your Jing. The first one is microalgae, which can be chlorella or spirulina or wild blue-green algae. Very, very potent, good source of these nucleic acids and these essential vitamins and fatty acids. Cereal grasses, like wheat or barley grass, you can get these things in juice form or in powdered form and add them to your diet as a supplement. And then when we're talking about this small amount of high-quality meats and fish, the specific recommendations are high-quality fish, liver, kidney, brain, or bone in its marrow. And it, the reason that these things are recommended is because this is where the animal's Jing resides. Like I said before, there's these areas in our body where we have this concentrated life force. And so to be able to have access to a really high-quality animal and then take into your body their organs that concentrate their Jing is going to enhance your Jing. Great. And then just as a kind of a little extra, there's an ancient Chinese practice of using human placenta to increase fertility, which again makes a lot of sense when you think of it in the way of like enhancing like. And, you know, this may or may not be something that you're comfortable with or open to, but apparently you can get it in a powdered form in Chinese pharmacies. I would really look into the source and the quality before I would go ahead and do that. I just wanted to add that in as information that I found while I was reading, but certainly, just like with any of these animal sources, we also want to know that if it's coming from a human source, it comes from a good human source in a healthy and respected way. So, okay, and then there's a couple of specific additions that you can bring into your diet that are really going to strengthen your reproductive health as well. Royal jelly and bee pollen are really potent, concentrated forms of life force that can stimulate your sexuality and your reproductive abilities. Royal jelly is more concentrated than the bee pollen and can be added to a smoothie or, you know, just take in a little bit in juice and take it on a regular basis. This can start to kind of recharge your system. Okay, so these are some dietary recommendations. I mean, the basic one here and where we all need to make sure that we start is by eating a natural diet. So if there are aspects of your diet that need to be shifted and changed, it's really important to just bring your focus and attention to that so that you're not sabotaging your other efforts. And then if you feel like that's really working for you and you've got a natural diet, then there's all of these specific things like the royal jelly or, you know, the chlorella or good meats or these types of things that can really charge up your vital life force. Those things can be added to a natural whole foods diet. But certainly don't spend your time and energy on it if the bulk of your diet is depleting. The first place here to put attention is to shifting into a healthy diet and lifestyle in general. And this really can be and I believe needs to be combined with a holistic approach to life, bringing everything into alignment, reducing your environmental toxins, managing stress in a good way, learning how to step into your empowerment, exercising in a good, moderate, joyful way, eating healthy foods, and just basically taking charge of your own systems, your own life, and saying, yes, I want to be healthy and I want to be alive. And so for all of that, this is the approach that I take with my clients, and encourage any of you that need that support, that want that support, to be able to seek it out in that way. So this is another time that I'm going to break for questions and see if there are questions about the dietary recommendations and the things that we covered in the second half of the class here. If anybody has a question, please feel free to just speak up.
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi, I just had a question about the animal-based products. Chicken, meat, chicken. So if you eat that almost every night, that's pretty bad.
Well, I don't really believe that things are bad and good. I'm not going to tell you that it's bad. What we're talking about for really focusing on enhancing your Xing is to have a mostly plant-based diet with some high-quality, high-potency animal products added in small amounts. So I would say that you could probably enhance your Xing more by backing off of eating the meat every single night.
Now, would tofu be better to replace?
In this particular, with this particular issue, I would recommend not eating soy products because of their interaction with your estrogen in your body.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, maybe miso or tempeh, a cultured soy product that's like really an ancient product, but I wouldn't say replace one for one your meat with your tofu. That to me seems like it would be detrimental. There are, you know, there's ways of shifting your whole diet around so that you're getting plenty of protein from plant sources and feeling really satisfied. And like I said before, it takes a little while to develop these skills, learn the recipes, and just feel comfortable with it. So yeah, that is what I would recommend, is to take the time to learn a new way of eating.
I have a question about chlorine, and
uh-huh.
I love to swim, and I live in a city, so I mean,
uh-huh.
I swim in a pool. Is that like something I should seriously consider not doing as much of, or not doing?
Yeah, I feel like if you're getting a regular exposure to chlorine, it could be really detrimental to your system. There are a lot of pools switching over now to salt pools. Have you heard of this concept?
It beeped when you switching over to what?
Salt water pools.
Yeah, well, yeah.
They're shifting over in a way so that they can use less of the chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if in your city there's a gym or a Y or something that's made that shift, but it might be worth researching so you can keep swimming and have less of an exposure to chlorine. Does that help?
Yeah, and how much is it for your sessions, like your phone sessions?
Well, I'll get into that in just a little bit here.
Okay.
I'll kind of give you a little rundown about how that works.
Okay.
Okay, great, thanks.
So this is Eileen. I just had a question about how important is it for our partners to be, you know, also, you know, switching their lifestyle, or how much of a role does that play
uh-huh.
in our own, you know, in our capacity to, you know, be healthy mothers?
Great. Oh, that is such a good question, and something that I kind of forgot to really address, so thank you for asking it. It looks like from the research that I've been doing that 40% of the cases of infertility are male caused, and 40% are female caused, and they say 20% are, they're not sure. So it looks about, you know, half and half here, basically, whether it's the man's issue or the woman's issue that is causing the pregnancy not to happen. And I would say that it's very, very, very important that your both partners are in alignment. I would say Okay. Welcome back. I would say that if your partner is not doing this, if he's having an unhealthy and toxic lifestyle, then it's, you know, it's almost kind of defeating the whole purpose of you doing this. Not only is physically it causing a possibility for there not to be a pregnancy, because it could just as likely be his body not having enough Xing as your body, but also an energetic and emotional support that's needed for bringing in a new child into the world is required. So to have both partners be in alignment with, we're making a conscious choice here to welcome a child into our lives and to really create the environment for that to be possible. I think it's extremely important for our partners to be online with us.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, if this is effective and you do wind up becoming pregnant, you're going to then have a child. And then you're going to want your child to be as healthy as possible. So to have both partners be online with a healthy lifestyle and an empowered lifestyle where you know how to relate to your body is going to create a possibility for being really healthy parents and raising healthy children. Well, thank you for that question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so just to kind of wrap up the class here, because we have gone over a little bit, I just wanted to reaffirm here that fertility and our ability to reproduce can be and is significantly enhanced or threatened by our diet, lifestyle, and emotional states. And like I said before, this is a really complicated combination of factors and can be challenging to address. Once we start to address our physical stuff and change our diet, then the emotional stuff comes up. And as we do this whole process, the process that I do with my clients, it's about learning to develop a good relationship with the body and become empowered in making healthy choices. So this is not something that you could just kind of follow a couple rules and you'll be fine. It's like it's a whole process that requires support and love and attention. So, and also, like I said before, as we become healthier all around, we're going to welcome more fertility in our lives and experience the benefits of that health in all the other aspects of our life. So I'd like to take just 1 minute here to ask somebody to just say something that they found particularly helpful, maybe a new piece of information or a concept or idea that is allowing you to feel inspired in this moment. If one person could just step up and share that, it'd be great.
I guess I will.
Okay, who's this?
This is Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi. I have struggled with infertility for 4 years now, but have gotten pregnant 4 times. But I've noticed since that I did get pregnant, doing yoga, quit smoking, drink a lot, and took the time to, you know, like when you buy a house, you start fixing it up, and if you just kind of stop what you're doing and take your weekends and relax and enjoy, I noticed that was helpful.
Great. Yeah, so getting your whole lifestyle into alignment with this, making it a priority and saying, okay, this is what I'm doing right now. I'm going to really fix up this body of mine to prepare it for a pregnancy. Great. So as I've kind of mentioned throughout the course here, there's a lot of changes that can be made that can have really good positive effects in your life for your own well-being and for your fertility, and that those types of things are what I work with my clients. When I work with a client, we commit to working together for 6 months so that we can really dig in and address these issues and that they have the support and the care that they need to be able to go through any changes that need to be gone through, learn new things, develop new habits so that they become sustainable and you can just kind of go on to the rest of your life with them. The beginning of this whole process for me is scheduling initial consultations with people, so that we can have an individual private time to talk on the phone and really address your specific needs and concerns and see whether or not those are concerns that I can effectively deal with. These initial consultations are free, and I really encourage all of you to schedule one with me if you want to. Any of you that are inspired to do that, I'd really love to be able to take this information and take it to the next step with you. Where you can ask specific questions and we can look at and assess your specific life situation. What I'd like to do is to offer a special discount for any of the members of this class today that would decide to enroll in a program with me. Like I said, the initial consultation is free, but then there's a fee for the six-month program. And if any of you are able to schedule an initial consultation within the month of June and decide to become clients, then I'm going to extend a $100 discount off the total cost of the program with you. I would really love to get a chance to get to know some of you individually and work on this. And I will be sending out an email after the class here with links to be able to sign up for that initial consultation in a simple, easy way. My contact information is joedelamore@gmail.com, and the website that has all of my information about programs and so forth is www.radiantbalance.com. And I just want to give you one more chance for questions if anybody has a question about my work or the offerings that I've just brought up. I'll answer that now.
Did I miss when you said how much the six-month program was? Or I mean,
No. The total cost for the six-month program is $1,500. And I do offer some discounts for paying in full and for enrolling during an initial consultation, and then plus an additional discount for you guys if any of you should decide. So it can, you know, it can go down significantly from there.
And then how often do you meet?
We meet every other week for an hour. So this is an opportunity for you to kind of have an hour to really focus on where you're at in that moment, learn some new information. I'll bring new recipes and new concepts and different aspects of healthy living to our consultations, and then to develop a plan for the next 2 weeks, basically, some things to work on. And then you go and you experiment with those things and then come back and we have another check in with how you've done and do it again. It's kind of like taking it step by step every other week for 6 months.
Great. Thank you for answering that question.
You're welcome. Thank you all so much for being here. I hope that this has brought some good perspective in and some good information for you. And I wish you all healthy, vibrant, fertile lives, and look forward to speaking with some of you in the future. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.